Tir is Daf Peches, and we're going to begin on Daf Peches from an Aleph at the second line. Yesterday, at the end of the Shir, we had learned that Chananya ben Akavya had reported to us three heterim, three leniencies that Chananya ben Akavya had given to the people of Tveria. And now the Gemara is up to the third one. Umestapnim baluntas. He told them that they're allowed to dry themselves with a bath towel on Shabbos. Mayi. Asked the Gemara, to what is this referring? The Tanya, as we learned in the Brayis of Masechet Shabbos, umestapnim odnim baluntas. A person could dry himself with a bath towel, or menicha b'chaloyim, and leave it in the window. The Brayis, as we learned in Masechet Shabbos, is discussing one taking a bath on Shabbos in cold water, and hot water that's also to take a bath on Shabbos. But the Braisa is talking about taking a bath in cold water, and the Braisa says that although when drying oneself with a towel, there's a concern of schita, that'll come to wring out the towel and squeeze out the water. However, Chazal said that somebody who took this bath could dry himself with a bath towel, and just as soon as he completes drying himself, he puts it in the window, on the window. However, he should not give it over to the bathhouse attendants, because they're suspect that they will squeeze out, wring out the towel. It's only people who are not concerned. Like the Ran explains, really, we should have said that everybody should not be allowed to use a bath towel on Shabbos. However, because taking a bath and not allowing the person to dry himself is something it's difficult for people to follow such a gzeira. So that's why Chazal gave a leniency that as far as the towel is concerned, one can dry himself. It's interesting to note that the Mishnah Berurah says that our meaning nowadays is not only not to take a hot bath, which the Gemara Masechta Shabbos tells us is asur, but even taking a cold bath is asur. Furthermore, the Re'eim says that based on this Gemara, only when taking a bath is there a special heter of allowing one to use a towel. But any other situation, you cannot handle something that's wet, because there's a concern that you may come to squeeze it out. Rav Shimon Omer, Af Mevia B'Yadol Tech Beisoy. Not only is somebody allowed to dry himself, he's even allowed to bring it home. Now there's a machloikis between the Vilna Goyin and the Magen Avraham, how to learn Pshat in Rav Shimon. The Magen Avraham says that Rav Shimon is really just a continuation of the previous Shita. That the previous Shita, as we learned, the Ran explained, Chazal gave us a special dispensation as far as bath towels, that you could dry yourself and leave it on the window. So Rav Shimon takes it a step further and says, not only do you have to leave it in the window, you could even take the towel home from the bathhouse. The Vilna Gaon has a totally different approach. He says, Pshat and Rav Shimon is, that Rav Shimon is telling us that when it comes to bath towels, people really aren't concerned if it remains wet, and therefore there's no concern about handling it, and you can take it home, according to Rav Shimon. Says the Mishnah Berurah, what's the difference lahaloch lemaisa between the Vilna Gaon and the Magen Avraham? It's once somebody reaches his house with the bath towel. According to the Magen Avraham, we're dealing with a special dispensation that Chazal gave us. But that dispensation is only valid until one gets home. Once the person reaches his home, he has no more heter. According to the Vilna Gaon, Pshat and Rav Shimon is that there is no concern of schita by bath towels. And therefore, even once someone gets home, according to the Vilna Gaon's understanding of Rav Shimon, he would still be allowed to move the bath towel. Now the Gemara continues discussing what we learned in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that Chazal gave us a special heter that if somebody builds mechitzos, partitions around his balcony, which is over a yam, so even though the balcony is a Rosh Hashanah Yochud, and the yam is a karmelis, and normally you can't move objects from a karmelis to Rishus HaYochid, by constructing these mechitzas, Chazal said you will be allowed to move water from the yam, the karmelis, to the balcony to Rishus HaYochid. However, says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Barafuna, Loi Shanu El Lamalis. This was only taught regarding drawing water from the yam, from the karmelis, to the balcony. Ava Lishbach, if somebody's pouring out wastewater from the balcony to the yam, that's asur, because it involves transferring from a Rishus HaYochid to a karmelis. Because what's going to happen is the water is not going to stay just directly under the mechitza. Obviously, the water is going to move it past the mechitza, and it will come out that you caused this wastewater to go from Rishus HaYochid to the karmelis. And even though the Rishonim explain this is koichoi, it's not a direct movement from the Rishus HaYochid to the karmelis, because first it goes to the area under the mechitza and then it moves further, still it's Chazal said that koichoi is also. The Chaznish explains that let's say you're dealing with water that moves with a very strong current, and thereby by pouring it out from the balcony to the yam, it's going to immediately flow into the area past the mechitzas. There it's not just a gzeira, as we're learning now, it's of koichai, that's called, according to the Chazon Ish, direct movement. Mask of Lord Rav Shizbi, so Rav Shizbi asked Rav Rav Huna, v'chima ben zeh l'uka, what is the different than a cesspool in a chotzer, which we're going to learn in the next Mishnah. Somebody can pour water from his home into a cesspool in the chotzer, even though it will eventually move into the Rishus HaRabim. Answers the Gemara, hani taima, the water in the cesspool will generally become absorbed in the cesspool, and even though sometimes it may not, doesn't make a difference, because generally that's the situation. Hani, however, the water that you pour from the balcony to the water, there's nowhere for it to get absorbed, obviously, in the yam under the gezustra, and therefore we don't have the heter, and therefore you can't pour it out. Ikadamri, however, there's another version. Amar Rav Barav Huna, Loi Tema Lamalus Udashauri, don't tell us that only in a situation when you're drawing water from the yam through the mechitza onto the balcony is a mutter to move the water onto the gezustra, but lishbaich, to pour from the gezustra to the yam, which will ultimately bring the water into the karmelis, should be asur. El lishbaich namishari, even to pour from the balcony into the yam is mutter. Amr Rav Shizbi says, of course it's mutter. Pshita, Hain Uke, isn't that the same as the story of the cesspool that we know from the next Mishnah's mutter? Answers the Gemara, if I only had the situation of the cesspool, I would think, Madatayma Haini Taima. There it's mutter because the water gets absorbed into the cesspool. That's why Chazal allowed you to pour the water out. Hani, but in our situation, Loi Taimi, the water doesn't get absorbed, and therefore it may be usur to pour the water from the gezustra into the yam, even though you're pouring it into the area of the chitza, kamash malon, that it's mutter. That it, you may do it even in a situation where it doesn't get absorbed. And why is a taka mutter? So the Rishonim explain, because there are two things that are working in our favor. Number one, it's koichai. It's not a direct transfer from the Rishus HaYochid to the karmelis. Rather, you're pouring it into the area within the mechitzas, so you're remaining within the Rishus HaYochid. Then it only goes as a result of what you did, which is called koichai, and it's also davish enem skaven, because you didn't have any intention for it to go to the area outside of the Rishus HaYochid. So the Mefarshim will ask that although it's taka a davish and a miskavin, but it's a psik resha. It's something that will certainly happen. And we know that when the Chazal taught us that a psik resha, when something will certainly happen, it's considered osur, it's considered not a davar she'eino miskaven. So the Trumas HaReshin says, based on this Gemara, that a psik reisha is mutter by the Rabbonim. And since here there's only a discussion of carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Karmelis, which is Isid Rabbonon, a psik reisha is mutter. In fact, the Mefarshim explain that is the machloikis between the two versions of Rabbi Bar Afuna. If a psik reisha is mutter by a Rabbonon, the first lashon says it isn't, and the second lashon says it is. However, many Paiskim disagree with the Trumas HaDeshin's explanation, because and they base their difficulty on the following. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like the second lashon, that you may pour from the Gzustra to the area under the Gzustra, even though it will go to the Karmelis. Yet the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a psik reisha is asur even by the Rabbanan. So that can't be the explanation of the Gemara. So therefore, the Magen Avraham explains, it's not because it's a psik reisha. The point here is because it's a koichai. Since it's an indirect transfer, whenever it's an indirect transfer, that's why we're makel. The Taz has a different explanation. He says this is not called a real psik reisha, because it's a psik reisha de layich pislei. He doesn't care, he doesn't need that the water should travel, the person who's pouring it from his balcony into the yam, further. For as far as he's concerned, it can remain where it is. And therefore it's called a psik reisha de layich pislei, combined with the fact that it's Issed Rabbanim, combined with the fact that it's koichoi, that it's not a direct movement. When we combine all of these factors, that's why the Taz says we could be makel. But normally, we could not be makel. We continue. We learned in the Mishnah, the Cain Shnezus with straws, that if you have two balconies, as we saw in diagram 310 on page 104, when you have two balconies, one, however, made a mechitza, made this box, and the other one didn't, then the halacha is that even the one that has the box cannot use it, if they did not make an error between these two balconies. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Hun Amar Rav, Loi Shana El Besmucha. This is only when the two balconies are close to each other. So Rashi says, close to each other means that they're within four tfachim. The Rambam says that close to other means that the width, it's talking not about a lateral distance, but it's a distance in height, and that difference is 10 tfachim. Avam Aflegas, if they're further away, so they're considered two totally separate areas, and then the Aloch is El Yoyna Muteris, the upper balcony that has this mechitza can use it, and the other one is separate. And explains the Gemara of Rav Latameh, Rav follows his Shita, Dama Rav, Ein Adam Oysal Chaveroi Derech Avir. If the only way for one area to reach the other area is through the air, that's considered not a normal way of usage, they're not considered connected. So when they're farther away, they only can get connected through this Avir, through this airspace, they're not considered, according to Rav, connected, and therefore one can't restrict the other. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Chiya. Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Oishya. Rav said in the name of Rav Chiya, and Rav Yosef said in the name of Rav Oishya. Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos. As far as Hilchus Shabbos is concerned, there is a concept, if you stole something, it's yours. That's how the Gemara learns in the Havamina. That means, if I have a chotzer, and next to my chotzer there's a churva, a room, which I do not own, however I use all week, the fact that I use it all week, even though I maybe shouldn't have because it's not mine, as far as Hilchus Shabbos is concerned, makes it be considered as if it's mine, and there is no need for an Erev for me to be allowed to carry from my Chotzer to that Churva. On the other hand, the Braisa says, the Churva Machzel Abalim. The Churva, the fact that the ruin is not mine, it's somebody else's, it's considered his, it's the owner's, and if I don't have an Eruv with the owner, I can't connect, and I can't carry from my home, from my chotzer to the churva. Ask the Gemara Davi's Kasha. Hagufa Kasha. This price is self-contradictory. Amrit, first we said Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos, that the Hilcha Shabbos takes into consideration the fact that I use it all week and considers it mine. Al-Makanya, it's considered that I bought it, it's mine. And the other hand, a moment later, the Braisa says V'chorva Machzel Abalim, that a ruin makes it go back to its owner, and it's not mine. Al-Makanya. So what is it? Answers the Gemara, Hachikama. This is the way you have to learn Pshat in the Braisa. Yesh din gezel b'Shabbos, Hilchas Shabbos takes into consideration what is really mine, and what is really not mine. Ketzah, what does that mean? The churva machzel abalim, that if I got ownership in an unauthorized way, I got ownership through stealing, it's not considered mine, even though I may use it all week without authorization, and therefore if I want to be able to carry from my chatzah to that area, I must make an erev, otherwise I will not be allowed to carry. Omer Rabbah, so Rabbah says, Masvina Shmaitin, we'll ask a kasha on this psak from our Mishnah. We just learned in the Mishnah, if we have these two balconies, one is higher than the other, the halacha is that if one wants to be able to use the gezustra, the partitions is created to be able to move from the Carmelis, from the Yam, to the gezustra, the other one restricts it. But if we can say that one, every separate area is considered separate, and my Isis, why does the other one have any effect and restrict me? Omer of Sheshes, Hachem my skin, Kosh Gansh Osu Mechitza B'Shotras. It's speaking in a situation where they built the partition in the higher balcony with partnership. So since the lower balcony contributed towards the construction of the Mechitzas in the upper balcony, so that's why they're connected to it, and if we didn't make an Erev, they restrict. Ask the Gemari Hachi Kioslach Tachtoina Nami. So let's understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that what happened, that the upper one made a Mechitza, and now we're saying that the lower balcony contributed to building that Mechitza. If there was no Erev, the lower balcony restricts the upper balcony. What would be the halacha based on the way we learned the Mishnah? If the lower balcony did build a mechitza, then the halacha should be that it's mutter. It's only because only the upper balcony has a mechitza and not the lower balcony. But if we're saying that the point is that since the lower balcony contributed to the construction of the mechitzas on the upper balcony, that restricts the upper balcony, so what's the difference if the bottom balcony has or doesn't have mechitzas? Answers the Gemara, Kim in the Oslo Tachtoina, if the lower balcony will go and make mechitzas, what it's doing by constructing those mechitzas, even though it's a partner in the mechitza of the upper balcony, Guluye Galadata, it's showing that that we don't want to be together with you. We want to separate ourselves from you. Because if we didn't want to separate ourselves from you, why did they go bother building their own mechitzas? So therefore, even though they're partners, but since they built their own mechitza, they show that they don't want to be connected. Everybody is their own, and they therefore will not restrict the upper balcony. Now the Mishnah continues discussing how someone who has a chotzer in front of his home, they did not have sewage systems like we have. How someone, they used to pour out the sewage, the wastewater, from their homes to outside the home, and how could someone, and what circumstances may be done. So what happened is the person is pouring from his house, which is a Rishus HaYochid, to the Chatzar, which is also Rishus HaYochid, but then the water flows to the Rishus HaRabim, which is outside of his Chatzar. And therefore the Isser, according to most Rishonim, is that you're transporting from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. And although it's not a direct transfer, you're not transferring directly from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, it is a situation of Koichoi, indirect transfer, and Chazal we're concerned even about indirect transfer, certainly when we're dealing with a situation of a Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. Others explain that the concern is that if we will allow you to pour normally from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, there may be a concern that there's a concern that you may come to pour directly to Rishus HaRabim. Or the third pshat in Rishonim is that there's a concern that you may, people outside seeing water flowing from your home to the Rishus HaRabim may not recognize that you really just poured it to the Chatzar and it then just flowed to the Rishus HaRabim. They may think that you pour directly to the Rishus HaRabim, which is obviously awesome. Teaches us the Mishnah. Chatzar shibchus mi'arba amis, if the Chatzar is less than 4 amis in area, ein shaychem b'toychem mayim b'shabbos. You can't pour water into it on Shabbos. Elm ken osu la'uka, unless a cesspool is built for it, as is shown in diagram 3.11. Machzekes osayim, and the cesspool has to be able to contain 2 saw of water, min amekev ulamata, below the hole. Because the way the uka was built, that they had a hole, and then they had a pit, and then the pit had it in a hole, which the water, when it overflowed, went through that hole into the Rishus HaRabim. So it has to have such a depth of Mesosayim that the water will fall into it before it goes to the Rishus HaRabim. And as we will learn in the Gemara, normally a person spells out 2 saw of wastewater on a day, and therefore there's no concern that you water will end up under normal circumstances into Rishus HaRabim. And even if it does, we'll explain in the Gemara, Chazal were not concerned. Beim mechutz, beim b'fnim. The cesspool could be situated either outside the chatzar or inside the chatzar. Again, as is shown in diagram 3.11. If it's situated outside, tzarech likmor, he has to cover it up. And mifnim, if it's inside, ain't tzarech likmor, he doesn't have to cover it up. Now there's a machloikis rishonim, why you have to cover up the cesspool if it's outside in the Rishus HaRabim. Rashi and Ritva explain that the cesspool has the dimensions of a Bakum Ptor. However, if it remains uncovered, leaves and other items may fall into it, which will change its dimensions from being an independent Makom Ptor. Rather, it will become part of the Rishus HaRabim, and therefore you will be moving from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. So the way to prevent that from happening is by covering it. Because if you remain covered, then that won't happen. Therefore, the Mefarshim explained, the Rishonim explained, according to this explanation, it has to have the necessary dimensions, and furthermore, it has to be made out of the proper material, which is absorbent. If it's not absorbent, we're always going to have the concern that it may become stuffed up. Tosfos, however, quotes a different pshat, that the concern is that somebody sees the water flowing out, if it's not covered, will think that you're allowed to, or that you maybe pour directly from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. Therefore, Chazal wanted it to be covered up. The Ramah in the Darkei Moshe has a totally different approach to this reason for covering up the cesspool when it's Rishus HaRabim. He says the reason it has to be covered up is because people, Chas V'Shalom, walking to Rishus HaRabim should not slip or fall a trip over it. And the Paiskim explain, according to the Darkei Moshe, the cover now has to be a strong cover. According to Rashi and Tosfos, that the concern is only a Hilchos Shabbos concern, it doesn't have to have a strong cover. But according to Ramah, that we want it to be covered properly, that nobody should trip, it has to have a very strong cover. On the other hand, according to Ramah, it doesn't necessarily have to be covered on top of it. As long as you have maybe a gate around it, that will prevent people from Chas V'Shalom tripping and slipping, it'll be enough. According to Rashi and Tosfos, it's not that a gate wouldn't do. It has to be actually covered, as is shown in the diagram. Now before we continue the Mishnah here is discussing a situation where you have your house and you pour from your house to the chatzar, and then it goes out to Rosh Hashanah. Ask the Rishonim, what's going to be the halacha if you pour from your house to the chatzar, but outside your chatzar you don't have a Rosh Hashanah, outside your chatzar you have a karmus? What will be the din? So the Mefarshim explain, the Rishonim explain, this really goes back to what we discussed early in today's shir. Here we have a situation of koichoi. It's not a direct movement to the Rosh Hashanah, and it's a davish and miskaven. Did Chazal make a gzer in such a situation or not? Which we learned that really was machlokes of the two lashonis on the top of the gemara, top of the omer in this gemara. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, "Bib shukomer arba amos Rosh Hashanah." If you have a sewage pipe which is running from the chatzah to Rosh Hashanah, if it's covered for the first 4 hours in Rosh Hashanah, somebody could pour wastewater directly into it in the Rosh Hashanah. The Chacham Maimrim, the Chacham say, afilu gag or chatz mei ama, even if the gag, the roof where you have your drainage unit or your chatzah is 100 amma long, lo yishpech al pi abib, you're not allowed to pour directly into the drainage pipe straight. You could only pour onto the roof, and from the roof it could go into the drainage pipe, but not direct. Rashi explains the reason is, again, because if somebody sees it going directly from the drainage pipe, he's going to be concerned. People may say that you're allowed to pour directly into Rosh Hashanah. Other Rishonim explain that if that the Chachamim are makbid on Koichai, that even on indirect transfer is asur. But if you pour on the roof, it's not a situation of Koichai, it's Koyach Koichai, and that's why it's mutter. And the other situation will be awesome. The chotz of Aksadra mistarfim l'arba amos. The chotz and the Aksadra could all combine to be dalar amos, which we learned at the beginning of the Mishnah, that you could only pour into a chotzer, which is dalar amos. The Aksadra, the porch, the gallery near it, could it combine to it. The chay continues the Mishnah. Most Mefarshim take out the word v'chein. This is a separate din altogether. Shtei diyutai zu kenegedzu. If there are two stories, upper stories in the house, miksasin asa uka, one group, one house made the cesspool, or miksasin la asa uka, and the other one did not, esh asa uka mektarim, the one that made the cesspool can use it, esh la asa uka ksurim, the ones that didn't make it may not. And we'll explain this in the Shem and the Gemara. So the first halacha that we learned in the Mishnah was that if the chatzar is dalet amis, then the halacha is that you can pour water from your home, drainage water, sewage water from your home into the chatzar. My tama, what's the reason for dalet amis? Amar Rava, nishda adam osul estapik sosai mayim b'chol yoyim. A person, as we explained in the Mishnah, usually has 2 saw of wastewater a day. Ba'aba amis adam roitzul azalfim. A person who has a chatzur that's dalet amos likes to sprinkle water on it to settle the dust. So that's why if you have a chatzur of that size, we allow you to pour the water there, because that's how you're going to settle the dust. Pox medalet, but if it's less than dalet amos, shayfchen, he's only pouring out the water. His goal is certainly not to settle the dust. It's an insignificant chatzur, and therefore, either of an uka shari, if he made a cesspool, he could pour it into the chatzar, Eloi, if not, it's asur. Rav Zeir Amar, Rav Zeir explains differently. Dalet amos, if it's 4 amos, taimi. 2 saw of water could get absorbed into that cesspool, into that chatzar. Pachs me dalet amos, but if it's smaller than dalet amos, loy taimi. The water will not get absorbed, and since the water will not get absorbed, that's why we have to make an uka. Ask the Gemara, my benai, what's the practical nafkamina between these two pshatim? Says the Gemara, Amabai, orach v'katan ik benayu. We have a long and narrow chotzer between them. That means we have the adequate footage. 4x4 amma is a 16 square amma. So let's say you'll have 8x2. So you'll have the necessary footage for, and it could get absorbed. But it's not a significant chotzer. And according to Rabbah, you have to have a significant chotzer if you want to be able to rely on the hutter. And that will be the nafkamina. In fact, there are poskim that want to say that from here we see that a choshva place, a choshva room is dalar amas to dalar amas. And they want to extrapolate from this something for hilchas mezuzah. The Shulchan Aruch says that a room that's dalar amas by dalar amas is mechuyah b'mezuzah. So they want to say it has to be 4 amas by 4 amas. If it has the right footage, let's say it's 8x2, it won't be mechuyah b'mezuzah. However, the Shalos HaTshuvos Koichim Yaakov says that the situations cannot be compared. There, by a room to be mechuyah b'mezuzah, perhaps the usability of the room is the factor. Here, it's not a factor of usability. Here, it's a factor of significance, and significance can require dalar amas, and therefore the two halachas are not necessarily the same. Tanan asked the Gemara Akasha. We learned in our Mishnah, chotzer v'chsadra mitzdafen dalar amas. The chotzer and the chsadra next to it, the plaza next to it, can join to the 4 amas. Bishlam l'Rav Zeir Nicha. Why? According to Rav Zeir, you need a surface area of 16 square amas, and you have it. El Rav Akasha, since we don't have a chotzer of dalar amas of dalar amas, how could it be mutter? Tergmer Rav Zeir Alibi de Rav, so Rav Zeir explained according to Rabbah, Bechsadra Malalachas Apnei Kol Chotzer Kula. The Mishnah is referring to a case where the chsadra runs across the entire face of the chotzer. So, they're both 4 amas long, and the combined width is dalar amas, and therefore it looks like a choshva place. It's not just like in a corner. That's the way this chotzer is shaped. Toshma, it says in the Braisa, chotzer shein boi dalar al dalar amas. If the chotzer doesn't have 4 amas by 4 amas, ein shoichun l'toichun mayim b'shabbos. You can't pour wastewater into it in Shabbos. So bishlam l'rabba nicha. The language of this braisa works according to Rabbah because it says 4x4. Ela Abzei, you don't need 4 amas by 4 amas. You just need an area of 16 square amas. So what does the braisa say 4x4? Kasha. Amlach Rabzeirus. Rabzeirus says, Hamani, who is the author of this braisa? Rabbanan he? It's the Rabbanan. And they taka require dalar amas or dalar amas. However, Masnissan, our Mishnah, is going to go according to Beleza Binyakofi, and he doesn't require an area of dalar amas al dalar amas. All he requires is that you have the adequate area, even if it's not in the shape of dalar amas al dalar amas. So essentially, what is Rav Zeira doing? Rav Zeira now created a machloikis between the Rabbanan and Rabbeleza ben Yaakov, which we didn't have to now. And that was saying that there's a machloikis between them if you need dafka dalar amas al dalar amas. Ask the Gemara, or my doctor Rav Zeir Lukmi Masnitz and Rav Zeir Lez Ben Yaakov. Why would we want to establish our mission like Rav Lez Ben Yaakov and make a machloikis just to answer Rav Zeir? Omer Rav Masnitz and Kasisha. Without this, we have a difficulty in our Mishnah. Because let's look at the first words of the Mishnah. My area the Tani Chotzer Shibachusa. Why did the Mishnah use the language that a chotzer is less than an amis? That's not the way the Mishnah usually said. Listen, it should have said chotzer she'ein by dalar amas or dalar amas. If you need dalar amas or dalar amas, dafka, that shape, the Mishnah should have said it. The Mishnah shouldn't have just said chotzer she'ein by dalar amas. Elav shmami no, it must be the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. That our Mishnah is following a sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that doesn't require 4 amas by 4 amas. It just requires the adequate footage. Shmami no. Ask the Gemara a different question. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is introduced to us later in the Mishnah, where we have the machloikis if you could pour directly into the sewage pipe, or if you're only allowed to pour onto the roof, and from the roof it goes onto the sewage pipe. Ask the Gemara Vahamid to say for Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is only introduced to us in the Sefer, obviously, Reisha Lav Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The first part of Mishnah is in Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Answers the Gemara, no. Kula Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The entire Mishnah represents Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's position. The Chsur Mechsur and words are missing, Vachitami. And this is the way we have to learn Pshat and Mishnah. Chatzar Shi Bechusu B'Dalar Amis. If the Chatzar is less than Dalar Amis, Ein Shayich L'Toich Amayim B'Shabbos, you can't pour water directly from the Chatzar into it on Shabbos. Ha Dalar Amis. But if it's Dalar Amis, Shayichim. Then you may. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, because Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov teaches us, Bib Akom Dalar Amis B'Shus Rabim, if you have a drainage pipe, which is covered for four amos, which is rabim, shayfchon the toich amayim b'shabbos, you're allowed to pour water into it on Shabbos. Therefore, he's just like he permits a four amma drainage pipe that's covered, so too will he permit a chotzer that's four amos. And the Mar continues learning the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov taught us, the bib akomer, if you have a covered sewage pipe, you could pour into it. Chacham said you only could pour on the roof, and from the roof it goes on to the drainage pipe. Says the Gemara, Masnisim like Chananya. Our Mishnah does not follow the sheet of Chananya. The Tanya Chananya Omer, Chananya is even more machmer, and he says a filu gag meya amah. Even if the roof is 100 amos long, lo yishboich, you should not pour directly onto the roof. Lishefish ein agag also levloya. The roof is not made to absorb. What's going to happen is the water, el kaleich, it's going to flow off. And therefore, since it's certainly going to flow from the Rishus HaYochid to the Rishus HaRabim, Rabbi Elazar ben Chananya says it's Osir. No such shita is represented in our Mishnah. Now, the Gemara now says that in not all situations is a uka, a cesspool is required. Tana, but medvar mamurim, when was a cesspool required? But Moshe Chama. In the summer, where in their climate it didn't rain in the summer, in the rainy season, a person could pour and repeat the ena nimna even without a uka, and he doesn't have to be concerned. My tama, why? Amarava, Adam writes a shivul mayim b'kaim. During the rainy season, a person desires that the water be absorbed in its place. He doesn't care if it remains in the chatzar, because it's anyway dirty. So since it's not his intention that the water should go out of the chatzar, so there's no need for a cesspool. Amal Abaya asks Abaya, for a shayfchim, what about the case of our Mishnah, when we spoke about the sewage water? Da'adam roitza shivilu, a person wants it that it should get absorbed in the pipe. Still, v'ktani, lo yishpoich. We learned in the Mishnah that according to the Chachamim, you're now allowed to pour directly into the pipe. Even though you want it to get absorbed in the pipe, you have no interest that it should go further. So if you don't care that it should go further, and you're okay that it should get absorbed in the pipe, that's a heter. So why in the Mishnah isn't it a heter? Amalei, Surava said to him, Hasam l'mayin nechashlei. In the case of the Chatzar, during the rainy season, what are you concerned? Because as we've learned, there are two concerns when somebody's pouring water on the chatzar, into the chatzar on Shabbos. One concern is that the person pouring the water will intend that the water should go outside the chatzar, and that means he's going to be carrying from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. And the other concern is that people in the Rishus HaRabim, even if that wasn't my intention, but the people in the Rishus HaRabim who see the water coming from my chatzah to Rishus HaRabim will think that somebody could pour directly from the Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. Now let's understand, imishum kilka chaseiroi, that you're concerned that this person is worried that his chatzah is going to become ruined by the water, and therefore he's specifically intending that the water should go from the Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. Nobody will. That's not possible. Hamakal kvakaimi. His chotzer is all muddy anyway because it's the rainy season. Vimishum gzeir. If you're worried, shem yoimru tzloinu shaploinu mikalech mayim. People who see the water coming out of the chotzer going into the Rishus HaRabim, they'll say that you're allowed to pour water from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. Stam tznaris makalchaim. Since in the winter, most gutters are streaming rainwater. So somebody sees that this water coming out from these pipes will not think that you're allowed to pour They're not thinking that's water you poured at all. They think it's just water that came from the rain. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, he doesn't mean that that the Brice is teaching us that there's no need for uka at all. Uka machzik sasayim. If the cesspool can hold two saw nois and lois sasayim, then you could pour water of two saw. And Tais explained, not really two saw. The halacha is you could even do more than two saw once it has the hole big enough for two saw. Machzik saw, but if it only could contain one saw nois and lois saw, then you only have to put a saw of water. But moisak chama. But in the summer, machzuk sosayim. If taka could hold sosayim, then the loch is nois and lois sosayim. Then you could put into it a sosayim saw. But if it only could hold a saw, ain't nois and lois kalik. You can't put anything into it. Ask the gemara, b'maisa chamanami. Why in the summer, machzuk saw? If you can at least hold a saw, nesiv lo saw. At least we should allow to be put into it a saw. Answers the gemara, gzeira. If it could only hold a saw, we're concerned dema osi litim basasayim. You may end up putting into two saw, because as we've learned, the general amount, the regular amount of wastewater made in a day is two saw. So there's a great concern that if you only have a hole holding a saw, you may end up putting to it two saw. So if that's the case, so this winter also, if you have an uka that can only hold a saw, why aren't we concerned you're going to put in more, which is the regular amount of water created in a day? Answers the Gemara, as we explained before. In the winter, in the rainy season, there's a lot less to be concerned about than in the summer. That somebody thinks that you're pouring the water directly from the Shasayach to Shasarabim because you don't want your chatzah to be ruined. Your chatzah is ruined anyway. It's muddy anyway from the rain. And if the concern is that people are going to say that this person's pipes are pouring water into Rosh Hashanah, and they may come to learn that you're allowed to move, you're allowed to transfer from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, in the winter anyway, pipes are pouring out water. Amar Abaya, therefore Abaya says, Hilkach, since in the winter there's very little concern about what will happen if water comes out of your pipes, and I feel crying, even a car or two car of water can be poured into a chatzar in the winter time, and no limit is placed on the cesspool, no matter what size the cesspool is, even if it could only hold a saw. And the last thing of the Mishnah was v'chein shnei diutos zu k'neged zu. If you had two upper stories opposite each other over a small chatzar, and only the residents of one balcony made a cesspool, then only they may pour water into the cesspool. Amar Rava, and Rava says, even if these two balconies made an erev with each other, it wouldn't make a difference. Only those that made the cesspool could use it. Amar Abaya. So Abaya says to my Tama, why are the people who did not make a cesspool not allowed to use it? Elaine Mishum and Nafishamaya, if you're concerned, because when you have more than one family, so there's going to be more wastewater, and the hole isn't large enough to contain all that wastewater. Vatanya asked the Gemara, we learned in a Braisa, Achasli Uka, whether you're dealing with a cesspool, vachsli gester breich vareva, whether you're dealing with a vessel or a fish pond or a small boat, apishnus malamai merv Shabbos, and even if they're filled with water from before Shabbos, shoyf chin latoicha mayim b'Shabbos, we can continue pouring water into them on Shabbos. So, even though it's inevitable that there's going to be overflow, because they were already full before Shabbos, it's still mutter. Because as we explained before, the only reason we need to have this cesspool is to take away the concern that you may think you could go from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, or people seeing this may think, and the cesspool takes away that concern. So what's the difference ham, and once you have it, it should be mutter. Al yitma says the Gemara, hech yitma. Amar Rava, loy shana l'shlo yervu. The Mishnah is talking in a case where these two balconies, these two upper stories, did not make an Erev with each other. Since they can't carry into the Chatzar, they can't pour water into the Chatzar either. Avil Irvu b'matarim. But if they made an Erev, they can. Now the obvious question is, if they didn't make an Erev, so why did the people who made the cesspool, how could they pour water into the Chatzar? They're not allowed to carry into the Chatzar. There's no Erev. So Tosfos explains, because the Mishnah here is not referring to a case where somebody's pouring directly into the Chatzar, which would be Aser if there's no Erev. We're talking about indirect pouring. They pour water on the floor of their balcony and it runs off into the cesspool below. And therefore, although that would be Aser in a Rishus Rabbim, it's Mutter in a Chatzar that doesn't have an Erev. As continues the Gemara, v'chi loy irvu, and when they did not make an Erev, my tamaloy, what's the reason that the people who didn't join in the Erev can't pour into their neighbor's cesspool? On Rav Ashi says, gil, gzera, it's a gzera, dilma osu lafuku imani debat muhasim. If we're going to allow them to pour into the cesspool, they may come to carry some of their utensils to the cesspool, which is osu. So, as Tosfos explains, why do we make only this gzera on the people who didn't join in the Erev? Because it makes sense that the cesspool for the people who made it is near the house, near the balcony of the people who made it, and it's not near the balcony of the people who didn't make it. So since the people of this balcony who did not make the cesspool are distant from their neighbor's cesspool, the method of indirect transfer, which we just discussed, will not really work, because it's going to get their entire chatzar muddy, because the water is going to flow off their balcony, go into the chatzar, and then from the chatzar, Tosfos explained, only then go into the cesspool. Therefore, what they may actually do is they're going to carry the water, the wastewater, directly from their homes to the cesspool, which of course is usur. However, the residents who did make the cesspool probably have it right next to their home, so they're just going to pour it onto the balcony and it will run off into the cesspool, and we don't have to be concerned that they're going to come to carry from their home to the chatzar, which would not be mutter in this situation since they did not make an Erev. Hanu lach ketz mishtatfin, hanu lach ketz mishtatfin, hanu lach ketz mishtatfin.